Selling already is difficult. Selling when you have people who are not giving you a fair chance, that's even more challenging. On today's episode, my friend Philip Washington shares one of the challenges and the difficulties that he went through and some of the successes that he's seen as a brother in sales, someone who had to come up from the ground up, and how he's making it happen right now. He's finding amazing success, and I want you to hear his story. Hey, everyone. Welcome to Selling in Color. My name is Donald Kelly, the sales evangelist, and I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to be here with you to evangelize about selling, but more in particular, as we're talking about selling in color, man, there's so many opportunities out there for sales, and people of color like you and me, I think we have an advantage when it comes to sales. And it's a sad thing that we don't have many opportunities right now to be able to take advantage of those roles. We're going to share with you, as we're going through this podcast, how we can change that, how we can make things happen, how we can take advantage of ways, and what we're doing right now to push against the societal norm, and how we can get more people who look like us, who sound like us, who have talents and skills like us to be able to get into sales. Today, we're going to hear from one of our good friends. His name is Philip Washington, and he runs an organization in the financial world, and he's done all kinds of sales. You're going to hear what he did and some of the difficulties he went through, but how he's seen some success right now. And I think this is going to help you or help somebody that you know who are thinking about getting into the sales game. Let's go ahead and check out Philip's story. Philip, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, thanks for having me, Don.
It's a pleasure. I remember I just gave you a little bragged about you there in a teaser a little bit, but I'm excited to have you on the show. And when we're thinking about doing this episode and doing this podcast, we're thinking, you know, who are some good people? And I was like, come on, Philip. Philip is great. He was on our Sales Evangelist podcast. He's a seller. He's a business owner. He's been down the whole shebang. So if there's a sales rep of color that we need to bring on a show, it was like, you got to bring Philip. And you're killing it with your own podcast as well. So pleasure to have you here, man. Tell us a little bit more about you, man, and what you do, Philip.
Yeah, no, definitely, man. I appreciate you having me. In addition to being a podcaster now, and like I mentioned before, man, you were my inspiration. We met when you were like 1,000 episodes in. I might have had like one or two, or maybe I hadn't even started yet, but I was like, I'm never going to get to 1,000 episodes. And so I'm 300 in. I'm almost there, man, but appreciate you and your trailblazing. But so I'm founder and chief investment officer of Stonehill Wealth Management. We've been in business for 5 years, but I've been selling in the industry for about 10. And so it's been a good time so far.
Well, that's awesome, man. Well, congratulations on that. And it's exciting to hear and to see that, because as we mentioned in the stats from this podcast, you probably have heard that about 80% of people in the professional sales world are white folks, and about 20% are people of color. We want to be able to adjust that. So I want to be able to hear, something led to you getting into sales. You found success in sales, and we want to be able to figure out what worked for you so we can help young junior who's coming up after you into the sales game, how he can or she can, you know, be successful. So tell me about your upbringings with sales. Was this something like a four-letter word in your household, in your family? Was it like that, or was it like most other, people, underrepresented family, where they tell you need to become a lawyer, a doctor, or something like that?
Yeah, you know what it is? My dad did Amway growing up. And the older you get, the more you start remembering these nuggets that were dropped. My dad did Amway, but he was never really that good at it. But the cool part was, it was exposure. And so when I got my first, I got my first job in high school, it was like at Best Buy, standing there for 6 hours, and it was boring. And I said, listen, I don't want to do a job where I'm paid the same amount no matter what I do, and I got to sit here. Like, I don't want to do that. And at the time, I had also been exposed to my friends who lived on the good side of town, and they drove really nice cars and they had big houses. And I was like, listen, I know I want that stuff. And making $7.25 an hour at Best Buy is not going to get me that stuff. And so, I made my way into selling like vacuum cleaners door to door. So in high school, sold some satellites, door to door. And, obviously I wasn't good, but I was like, okay, but this is a way where I can be the captain of my fate, master of my soul, or I think I might have got it backwards.
Hey, we get what you're saying. We understand that.
yeah.
But you took that ownership. So it wasn't necessarily like a bad thing in your household. It just wasn't like, it wasn't the, wasn't a forefront, I guess. You recognized sooner than later that it was, if you wanted to make the money that you desired, working for the 9-to-5 traditional job, non-sales job, non-commission, wasn't going to make that happen.
Right. And the good part was my dad was always encouraged of it. But, you know, he wasn't good at it, but he understood it intellectually that, hey, financial freedom is being able to create your own paycheck. And so that was a blessing, because when I went into sales, you know, some parents would be like, oh, wait, you're going to graduate college, you know, and go make no money. And but my dad was like, yeah, go do it. Like, he was encouraging me, even though he didn't do it. And he tried, but he was like super encouraging. And so that was helpful.
So tell me about your first gig when you went into that post-college thing. What was the first major professional sales job that you went into?
Yes. So my senior year in college, I started an internship with Northwestern Mutual, where we sold insurance on commission while
in
college.
My first policy was with them. One of my friends worked at Northwestern.
it's a great training. And what happened during the internship, I ended up being like number two intern in like south of United States. And that was an accident. It was, thank you, but it was an accident because they gave me a goal and I wanted to get my investment license. And so they were like, hey, if you hit this goal, you'll get your license. And I hit my goal and they were like, oh, you're number two in the country. Or in the South. And I was like, I don't really care about that. I didn't make any more money. Like, can I get my license? You know, I hit my goal. so I got my license. But not, so I ended up converting to full-time when I graduated because, it, you know, it just made sense. And I was with Northwestern Mutual for 8 years, you know, after selling their products and services. And it was a great training program.
You went through all the necessary foundational building stuff. You became number two really early on. What did you do different?
You know what it was? It was more so before that I had ran a painting business in college. that's the shorter version of the story is I was terrible at it, you know, because in the painting business, I had to like sell the stuff and then I had to go into production, right? Because I had to deliver on what I sold and then manage staff and it was a learning process, but it literally like almost fell out because a lot of other things happened in college. My roommate moved out and left me with the bill. It was just a bunch of stuff happened at the same time. And so I almost like couldn't finish college. And so for me, it was emotionally painful. And so when I got the internship and they were like, oh yeah, we're not paying any salary. And I was like, man, I can't do that again. Like I almost fell out of, cause I had to, you know, it was on me. Like my parents couldn't help me at this point. And so I was like, I don't want to do it, but I got to learn this thing, you know, or I'm, you know, or cause this is what I want to do. And so, but at the time I was like, what I can't do is when I sold the painting business, I was afraid of rejection, right? I wouldn't make all the calls I was supposed to call. Right. So, you know, my pipeline wasn't full enough and I was letting those emotions get to me. So I was like, this time, man, I got to be cold blooded. You know what I'm saying? I got to like, just go after it. So I was so afraid of failing like before, that the fear of failing overcame the fear of rejection, right? And so, you know, that's the failure was the help for me, like almost falling out of college, but almost having to leave college for money.
Yeah, because you're doing, it's almost like, you know, this is it. There's no other, the cavalry isn't coming. There's no other resources. It's like either I make it or I don't. And I think that's one of the interesting parts too, like when underrepresented folks like us who are in the position, we do not always have mom and dad with a treasure trove of money that can go back to. If we're going to do it, we're going to have to figure it out. We're going to make it happen. And I think that gives us a little bit more ammunition. And this is why I feel like, again, people of color could, I mean, we do great in a world of selling. It's like I have had roommates in college and friends. If something didn't work out, daddy has some money or mama has some money that can help them. But for us, it's like, again, this is it. This is it. You make it work or you don't. And with that type of motivation, with that type of inspiration, like, why can't we be more, of course, we can be successful in this arena. Of course, we can take advantage of it. And when you have folks like Philip Washington, like you, like we have folks from the, you know, the group Sales for the Culture, you have so much resource. There's opportunity to thrive. It's just that people don't recognize or don't know that the opportunities are here. I'd love to hear about one of the biggest challenges that you faced in your career as you were selling for Northwestern or, you know, before you, when you jumped out on your own. What was the biggest sales challenge that you had that you were thinking like, you know, I don't know how to overcome this, and we can walk through how you did?
Yeah, you know what, man? It's a lot of mental, right? It's just, selling is mentally tough no matter what color you are, right? Mm-hmm. But specifically for me, like, you can go talk to all the guys that I came in with and everybody who, even though I was a relative superstar, right? You know, in the deal, meaning like,
come on, relative, you were a superstar, man.
But what I say that is, like, I was the hardest working guy out there. Like, I mean, nobody worked harder than me, right? Mm-hmm. Which is tough to say in Northwestern Mutual, right? I mean, I worked hard, but because, you know, I didn't come from money, my family didn't have money, you know, there were guys that weren't working as hard that was making a lot more money than me, right? And then the other, you know, other superstars were like significantly outpacing me in income, right? And that beats you up, right? Because you start thinking,
yeah,
like, what's wrong with me? Or your wife is going, oh, you know, like, what are they doing that we're not doing, right? Because they don't understand, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I don't fully understand why they're making the money at the time, right? You know, because when you're in it, you don't want to be like, I'm not the type to say, oh, because he's white, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But in reality, you know, they have more resources. Like, there were times where, you know, dudes just didn't. I would be the senior advisor that was brought in on a case from a young white guy, and we would go see the person, and then they would think that person was a senior person. And then when they found out it was me, they would say, hey, don't bring him back next time. You know what I'm saying?
No, like, they didn't.
No, straight up. Yeah. The dude was like, hey, man, he said he don't want you to come back. You know, he's one of them rich, spoiled kids. But it's one of them deals where you just learn to say, you know, you just keep building. Keep your head down. Like, I can't compare myself to them. I got to run my race. I got to keep focused. I can't let ignorant people stop me. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just learn to build those muscles, because as time passed, right? You do find out, man, that white guy was like in the minority. There's plenty of white people who bought from me. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? And you learn that it's a marathon, not a sprint. Because you fast forward to now, all the guys that were quote unquote ahead of me, the superstars, I mean, they're all asking me advice now because I'm the only one that started my own company. You know what I'm saying? And they're like, oh, how'd you do this? I mean, our situation is like way different now, right? And not that it's a competition, right? Because even if they were doing better, I would still be cool with that. But it's more like, you don't understand the muscles you're building when it's harder for you. And it's actually like a blessing. You know what I'm saying? Because it was so hard for me, and I never got a, like, I still haven't got like a break. You know what I mean? Like, some people get those big deals, you know, I never got a big deal, right? I had to grind it out for 14 years. You know what I'm saying?
Bro, that is so powerful, man. You think about it. Like, you hear sometimes like people get like, I'll give you another example. Like, I know people down here in South Florida, you've probably seen it over there too, in Texas, like, the housing market, when we're recording this episode, is out of control. It is a runaway freight train. Like, inventory is just so small. So, like, I'm seeing houses in South Florida that are like 2 bedrooms, 800-900 square foot, going for like 600-700. I'm like, what kind of crack? Are people smoking on, you know, what's going on? Like, it's crazy. But here's the thing though, like, when it comes down to it, some people were like, well, you should jump into real estate. And what they don't realize is, again, that what you mentioned when it comes to like that financial component, like, your net worth will be determined by your network. And sometimes if you don't have that circle, if you don't have that community, if you don't have access to those capital folks with capital, you may have a harder time selling. Like, say, you know, my wife watched that show, like, you know, Millionaire Listing and, you know, some of those shows. And, you know, she's like, yeah, you're a salesperson. You should do those big, I'm like, listen, darling, it doesn't work like that. It's not like, no, I don't know those people that are going to trust me to sell their, you know, $4.5 million condominium in New York. The guys who are doing that, they have access to those people. They have that connection, and that's make the difference. And obviously, can it work for us? Of course. And there's some brothers out there doing some amazing things and creating their own firms. But what it comes down to is, like, we may not get that large deal, but we can get a lot of those small deals because we're grinding and hustling and making something happen. You can still get the same amount of worth of gold from a bunch of little flakes, as opposed to finding that one large piece of gold, if you're going back to that gold rush type of analogy, so to speak. And that's where people like you are doing it. And some other people don't want to do that. So they're not willing to hustle because, again, they have resources. We're going to make it happen. And that's what I love about your story there. And that message.
Yeah, no, man. Appreciate it. No, yeah, definitely. It's, yeah, you summed it up.
So it sounds like that's what gave you your success, so to speak, is that if I were to say your superpower is that you don't give up easy.
Yeah, I almost never give up, right? I mean, I, you know, it's, yeah, because I'm not super smart right? Although people be like, yeah, right. I'm like, no, I'm just locking in on one thing and my competitive juices kick in. Like, I want to be the best,
yeah.
You know, but I'm not the smartest. I'm like, hey, but if I lock in on something and I want it, I'm just not going to give up. I'm just going to outwork everybody. And I'm going to take the required risks, right, to put supply and demand on my side, right? So for example, you know, one of the ways I had a blowout year last year, you know, dang near doubled my assets under management. Thank you. During COVID, but it was more the laying the foundation of the 4 years before, like doing the podcast. There's still no wealth managers doing the podcast. It's super compliantly, you know, risky, and it's tough to put yourself out there and your thoughts out there, right? You know, but I did it consistently. And so it brings opportunity, and it brings opportunities to where I was able to speak to the Texas CPA Society Dallas chapter, right, at their annual conference, right? We recorded it, but it'll be virtual, but it's supposed to be in person, but it'll come out later on this month. But that came from like the podcast especially as a Black person, right? So, I hope this helps like a young Black dude who's thinking it's tough. I'm like, listen, man, here's what the world responds to. They respond to you bringing value. They respond to supply and demand. So yeah, if there's a white guy and a Black guy that they can buy from and they perceive them as equal, then they're probably going to buy from the white guy. Nothing wrong with that, right? I mean, it's just human nature. I said, but if you can be the only person who's perceived as good at what you do, they're going to buy from you because they want it. And I'm like, so, you know, for me, putting out tons of content and becoming the expert, like there's white people, Black people, red people, brown people that are like, Philip is the undisputed person who I think of when it comes to money. Like, he's smart, he's intelligent, I like him, right? He's truthful, he's honest, right? And, you know, there's plenty of other smart guys who are honest, but they're not on the internet. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they're definitely not staying as relevant and up to date as I am. And so I'm just outworking the competition to get around the whole color barrier.
Yeah. You know what I mean? You're putting yourself out there, you're taking a risk. And you know what? There's some, they go back to what you're saying, really, really smart people, they talk themselves out of opportunities. And I think that's where the mistake comes from. So we gotta take advantage of what we can and do what we can. So I love it. Philip, one last tip that you would give to someone if they're thinking about getting into sales, they're listening to this podcast, they have a cousin that's in sales or whatnot, or they have little, you know, family members, and they're trying to help them to think about sales, and they're going to share your episode with them. What's that one major advice you want that person to walk away with? Or perhaps somebody that's already in sales and they're just like frustrated, they're trying to improve. What's that one major tip you'd give them?
You know what, man? I think, and I'm not just saying this because I'm on your podcast. I feel like one part that I missed that was important was like I had, the whole time I was at Northwestern Mutual, the whole time I had a coach, like the whole 8-9 years I was there, that helped me, like, because I was on the verge of mental breakdown sometimes, you know, like for real, you know, but it was having somebody to talk to and to process like what I was thinking, and that can give me perspective, right, when I was needed. I know I would not have gotten as far as I've gotten without those coaches. So like, get a coach, man. Like, community is super important.
So true. Felix, if folks out there listening want to get in touch with you, Philip, what's the best way for them to go about doing so?
Stonehill Wealth Management has all of my information. And then Twitter, @ask_Philip, Twitter. I've gotten on, Twitter's been fun, man. I actually realized Twitter's like where all the smart folks hang out.
You know, right.
So I try to hang out on Twitter a lot now.
Well, Philip, man, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show today, man. I appreciate you. I appreciate the wisdom that you shared with us, and congratulations on the success you're seeing.
Thank you for having me, Donald, man. Appreciate you.
Anytime. That was Philip Washington, and I want you to go ahead and connect with him. You can find all of his information down below. If you're watching this on YouTube, please go ahead and hit subscribe. If you have never subscribed to our podcast and first time you're here, just go ahead and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, wherever you are, and leave a rating and review as well. That goes a long way. I know people coming after us, they get a chance to see and hear and understand what this podcast is all about. When they see other people's testimony about it, it just goes a long way. Our job here is that we want to make a change. We want to be more people of color in sales, and we're doing it little by little. Check out organizations like Sales for the Culture as well. If you're an individual of color and you want to learn more about that group, check it out. Sales for the Culture. It's an awesome, awesome platform, awesome community. And we need to help each other. We need to share wisdom. We need to help each other to be able to thrive and succeed. That's what our goal is here. Get more folks that look like you and me to take advantage and to enter sales and be successful like Philip. We don't necessarily want to go out and beg for a piece of the pie. We want to go and make our own pie. We're here to help you to do so. Thanks so much for listening today. Please, please go out and tell somebody else about this episode. Hey, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to the episode today. I appreciate you. You could be doing many other things, but you sacrificed the time to be able to improve yourself and to listen to our podcast, and that means a lot. If you haven't done so already, I ask that you leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. It goes a really long way when someone can come behind you and hear about the show from someone else and hit subscribe. Thank you if you can do that, and if you've done it already, it would mean a lot. I appreciate you. Also, if you haven't done so already, go ahead and subscribe to our channel on YouTube. You can get the same amazing content, but you get a chance to see us, as well as more tips, tricks, and strategies that can help you compete and to succeed as a sales rep. Our show today was produced by myself and the Sales Podcast Network. It was edited and mixed together by the one and only Mr. Gershon O'Bale. Our show notes today was created by the one and only Rael Ramirez. Our podcast guest coordinator is Mrs. May Marr. Our episode artwork and social media posts were created by Destin Cunado. Our content editor is Michelle Rushman. Our podcast production coordinator is Mrs. Shannon Rasmussen. You can find audio credits to this episode and all of the episodes in each of our show notes. And as always, I am your host, your coach, your mentor, your guide down the sales journey, Mr. Donald C. Kelly, the sales evangelist.